Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 14, verses 12 through 42. In his message titled, The Power of Communion, Reverend Derek Longbrake tells us that Jesus knows that we need more than memories to sustain us. We need to share experiences. By sharing the communion meal, we can look forward to being in the kingdom of God. Let us now join Reverend Longbrake as he explains God's word.
You may be seated. My name is Derek Longbrake. I am filling in while Pastor David continues to enjoy some time away. Before we confess, today is a day we call Epiphany. Actually, tomorrow, the 6th is. And so we're still in the midst of the Christmas season right now, so Merry Christmas is still appropriate. But what is interesting and what we're singing about in the first Noel is about people seeking for connection with God. And so that's something that each of us share with people across time. We know that something is not quite right, that our own lives and who we are is not enough apart from something more. And so we had these wise men come and travel a great distance to try to connect with God. And so we're looking to connect again with our God and our Savior right now as we confess our sins together. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. Lord, have mercy upon us. Heal and forgive us. Set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love in Jesus Christ. Let us take a few moments for silent personal confession. Amen. Now let us hear the assurance of pardon as we enter this new year, knowing again our forgiveness in Christ. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ is with us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. So John read for us from Mark chapter 14, quite a longer passage, but there's even more to that story of Jesus having his last supper with his disciples and then his betrayal and then all that leads up to his crucifixion. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, but the reason we celebrate his birth is because we know what happens at the end of his life. And so that's why we're hearing this story. And I invite you to look and see even the rest of the story beyond what John read. And I'll be referring to the story in the sermon. So I remember a time when my daughter, Rebecca, was 18 months old, and I was on the phone with my brother. I was sitting on the couch, and she was playing down on the floor in front of me. And she would play on the floor for a minute, and then she would climb up on the couch and, like, look and try to like talk with me, and then she'd go right back down and play on the floor, and then she'd come back up. She was being busy, a busy toddler. And it was easier to pay attention to Rebecca, who was with me, than to my brother, who I was talking to on the phone. It's easier to respond to God's call in Jesus Christ to freely give of ourselves when we know that he's with us. Often we consider Jesus to be someone who's far away, that we talk to, but isn't actually with us. And so we get distracted from him by other things that seem more real. Maybe that's school. Maybe that's work. Maybe that's our relationship with our husband, our wife, our son or daughter. Maybe it's a relationship with a friend. We get distracted from Jesus. We start to pay attention to these things, to these other people, and we're diverted from our connection with Jesus. We may even disconnect completely from Jesus and wonder, where is Jesus? Especially when things overwhelm us. Well, the disciples, they had been with Jesus. They had been traveling alongside him. But being with Jesus was more than just being near him. You know, if you say that you're with someone, it doesn't just mean that you're next to them. It means that you also share a common cause with that person. So they shared life with Jesus as the disciples, but they also participated in his ministry. They did what he was doing. They had a common cause with him. Well, in the scripture reading, we see that Jesus knew he wouldn't be with them in person forever because he was about to be crucified. Jesus wanted them to know that he would still be with them. He wanted them to know that they could continue to share life and ministry with Jesus, even though he would die. Well, in Mark, two of the disciples were given the job of preparing for the Passover meal that they will eat together. And Jesus, we see Jesus guided them into finding a place to have the meal. But Jesus didn't go with them physically. The disciples had to physically go away from Jesus. But still, they did what he said, and they found everything as he told them. They still were with Jesus. They trusted his direction, they spoke in his voice, and they did what Jesus desired. Jesus is with us as we go out and follow his guidance. Jesus is with us as we go and do what he wants, even when he's not physically present with us. Well, the Passover meal that they prepared was a remembrance of God freeing the Israelites from slavery and how God saved their lives as the angel of death killed the firstborn in Egypt during the last plague there. So this is the story in Exodus that you can go back to, but basically what happened is the Israelites had been in slavery in Egypt for years and years, and it was time for them to be free. But the Pharaoh in Egypt didn't want to let them go. And so there were multiple plagues as God showed his power and as Moses asked the Pharaoh to let the people go. Well, this last one was when the firstborn in each household was killed. And what the Israelites did to prevent that from happening was have a lamb killed, and its blood was painted on the doorway so that the angel would pass over, thus called Passover, would pass over the Israelite household. At the same time, part of that meal was making bread that was unleavened, bread that wouldn't rise, because they were about to be on the road as free people. There wasn't going to be time for the whole bread baking process. So when people share this meal, when Jesus and his disciples share this meal, it doesn't just bring back memories of what happened all those years before in escaping Egypt. It does do that. But it's actually a reliving of history. The Jews are to participate. They're to eat this special meal as if they were participating on that night years before. The eating doesn't just say, well, we remember what God did all those years ago for his people. The eating says that they are still God's people, Israel, whom he will finally make free. Eating the Passover meal sustains loyalty and develops faith. Well, Jesus knows that we need more than just words or memories to recognize that he's with us. We need to share experiences together. So Jesus linked the Passover meal to himself. Jesus transformed the Passover meal into what we call communion. And in sharing communion, we look back to Jesus' death that frees us from sin, and we look forward to the final freedom, to the fullness of deliverance in the kingdom of God. So communion, in the same way as Passover, is more than just an exercise in remembering. It's even more than reliving how Jesus was with his people. Communion is Jesus revealing his ongoing presence with us today. Well, how can that happen in a meal? Well, let's consider a normal meal. You heard one of my story of a special meal that I told the kids, but a normal meal, sharing a meal, it binds us together, right? More than can be put into words happens when we sit around a table and eat together. Just by our presence, we share who we are. Maybe we're sharing how grumpy we are. Maybe we're sharing how glad we are to be together. Maybe we're sharing our joy that has nothing to do with the group of people that's around the table. Maybe we are sharing how we feel about each other in positive or negative ways. Maybe we're communicating our hopes and our joys. We're sharing a conversation about what's interesting to us, what we've experienced. And as we share this experience, we're changed. It forms our identity. Because now part of who we are people who shared that meal together. We shared that time together. We shared that experience. One of the most formative times in my life of following Jesus was actually in college, where I ate together with other Christians every day. There's actually also research about the power of eating together. When a family eats together, Purdue University has a study that tells us that eating dinner together 5 times together or more a week, it leads to better achievement for kids, more vocabulary, less at-risk behaviors, improved communication, stronger family ties, a greater sense of belonging. Elizabeth Planet, who works in Columbia University's CASA project, says, "The magic of the family dinner comes not from the food on the plate, but from who's at the table and what's happening there. The emotional and social benefits that come from family dinners are priceless." Now, while this is talking about families, including kids, I would argue that any meal has that, what she calls, magic. If sharing a normal meal has so many benefits, emotionally, spiritually, even physically, this helps us understand, in part, the power of celebrating communion together and what it can accomplish. As we share this meal this morning, it's a unifying experience. It nourishes us spiritually. It makes us accountable to one another because we're more connected with each other. In this meal, we take ownership and being a part of what Jesus came to do. And we celebrate with him that our connection is real. We proclaim that Jesus is always with us as we share communion. Well, even if we believe that, even if we believe in all the power of communion, of connecting us together, we've all wondered whether Jesus is with us, because there's times when we aren't really sure. We don't know if Jesus is with us. And the disciples in Mark 14, they reveal actually how it's not that Jesus goes away from us. It's that we are the ones who desert him. Whether Jesus is with us physically or not, our tendency is to be the ones that go away from him. And we see his disciples in the scripture abandon him by betrayal. Later on, Peter denies Jesus 3 times. We see the disciples scatter and fall away. And we see them fall asleep. We see how they aren't alert or paying attention when Jesus is asking them to be present with him. Now, we don't believe we'll do this. You know, we join the disciples who said in the scripture, "Surely not I wouldn't betray you," right before one of them walked out to betray Jesus. We can't imagine the betrayal of not wanting to be with Jesus, of walking out on him, or even trying to keep others from being with him. We can't imagine falling away from Jesus and just leaving him. We can't imagine that when we see how following him brings us life, brings us the fullness of life God created for us. We can't imagine ignoring him or not paying attention when he's asking us to join him in doing ministry and making an impact in the world. So since we have trouble imagining that, that we're capable of that, when we don't feel that Jesus is with us, we blame Jesus for leaving us. We blame Jesus for hiding his face from us. Yet we're the ones who abandon. We're the ones who try to get away because we're afraid. And we lack confidence in our spiritual strength. We're afraid of what other people think. We are the ones who don't pay attention to him because we're distracted. Because we're tired, because we're paying attention to that which seems more real. Well, that's why Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, communion, this Passover meal connected with him, because we need a repeatable action that will draw our attention back to him. We need a way that reminds us and helps us to experience how Jesus is with us today. So for us, again, this is not just a remembrance. The table of our Lord was never meant to be made into the maintenance function of the church. It's a participation in a subversive relationship that undercuts our self-focus. It's participation that confronts the world's sin and brokenness, that doesn't let us be the same. So we do remember. We remember Jesus' death. We remember the forgiveness he offers. But as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we participate in the life of Jesus with one another. Because Jesus is really present wherever and whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And that's why we call it communion. Communion means union with. So as we eat the bread, we share in the body of Christ and have union with him. And we're united with others who eat. So in this eating, we're connected with Jesus as part of his body, the church. We're connected with one another into being the church together, which is Jesus' abiding presence in the world. As we drink the cup, we share in his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins, and we acknowledge his covenant that he is our God and we are his people. We're not just remembering that we're his, we're experiencing again all that we do to betray Jesus, and that it's forgiven, that the penalty for sin, for not paying attention to God, for going our own way, for abandoning him, all of that is paid, and the way is open to life eternal with Jesus. So communion binds us to Jesus. We appropriate, we take on his death, and we share it so we may share in his resurrection. So we acknowledge this morning by eating this meal that we depend on Jesus for life. And we're united together in common cause. We're with Jesus. And we share an identity with all who follow Jesus because we have sat down together around this table. Communion with him is real as we share this meal. In communion, we recall how he has been with us, even if that memory may have faded. In communion, we experience his presence anew. In communion, we taste the fullness of what being with him in the kingdom of God will be like when he returns. In communion, we are made his people. We're made into the body of Christ, the church, together connected at the place where earth and heaven intersect in ways that sustain, transform, and enable us to give all of our life to Jesus. So as we prepare to share this meal, we make clear Jesus is with us and that we have no intention of leaving him. Let us pray. Lord, you know who we are. You know what our connection with you is like. You know our doubts, our fears. You know our faith. Lord, bring us together and renew our faith and our trust and our life that is found in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Longbreak, for an inspiring message. The Congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Now may the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you all and equip us all together to do every good thing in his will. Alleluia. Amen.